Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from our Old Testament reading found in Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? This is God's word. How much do you guys know about Habakkuk? Maybe not a lot, maybe a little bit. I'm going to try to introduce you a little bit to Habakkuk today because I think he's a very relatable biblical character. Some of the Bible characters are hard to relate to, aren't they? I mean, Jesus, right? He's the chief character, obviously. We might have a hard time relating to Jesus, even though he came to relate to us. He came as a human to live and suffer and die. You know, there was the whole him also being fully God and perfect and sinless, performing miracles. We don't relate to that. Noah, too many animals. I don't think any of us would find ourselves around that many animals. Moses, wandering in the wilderness, no thanks. Habakkuk, though. He's relatable, and here's why. He's a prophet among God's people, and he speaks in a way that we get. He starts off his book wondering where in the world God is. It's essentially what he's saying. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Habakkuk is a person who looks at the world around him and he sees death and evil and wickedness and sin and destruction and all these terrible things happening. He's wondering, God, are you even there? Are you even listening to your people? Have you completely forgotten us? Now that, I bet we can relate to. Because I bet we felt the same way. I bet many of you have felt that way. When there's been a time where unspeakable evil has happened. This past week, there was a story that really shook me. If you follow the Facebook page, you saw this story. LCMS pastor in Fort Dodge, Iowa, assaulted and robbed outside in the church parking lot, beaten to death. His funeral was held yesterday. That one kind of shook me a little bit. Maybe some of you. I mean, could that happen in a church like ours? Yeah, it could. Violence could come our way. But you know what? Those sorts of things have already come, haven't they? I mean, we know the problems that go on in our community. The drug use, the poverty, the alcoholism. We know that families are broken, and some of you have experienced that as well. Fighting between husbands and wives, parents and children, families broken apart in different ways. You guys know that. You know that everywhere we look in the world around us, it's death and destruction. It seems like on every side, we're surrounded by death. Habakkuk felt the same way. And in Habakkuk's case, the enemies were both outside and they were within. Because what you need to understand about Israel in this day, about the people of God, is they had pretty much wholesale rejected him. Sure, you had pagan nations around them that worshipped false gods and did wicked things. But even within Israel, wholesale idolatry, evil living, hatred and despising of one another, that was among God's people. And it left Habakkuk feeling sort of hopeless. Although we know he wasn't completely hopeless, and that is where our text takes off for today. What did Habakkuk do when it seemed like everything was death? Well, he tells us, our text today is two sections from two chapters, the first four verses of chapter 1 and the first four verses of chapter 2. The first four verses, Habakkuk laments to the Lord. How long shall I cry to help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. In other words, what Habakkuk is saying is that there's evil everywhere and God, you're not doing anything. God, you've forgotten justice. But then we see what Habakkuk does in chapter 2. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me, what I will answer concerning my complaint. Habakkuk, when everything seemed like it was death, he waited for God's word. It says he went to his watchpost. He went to the place where he would wait for God to speak to him, to hear what he would say. And that's what you and I do as well. In the middle of all of it, in the death and the wickedness and the destruction and the evil and the sin, we wait for God's word. What does the Lord say to Habakkuk? Write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. What does the Lord tell Habakkuk to do? He tells him to wait. Boy, that's our favorite answer from God, isn't it? Wait. You've heard it said God answers prayer in three ways. Yes, no, and wait. That's probably a pretty accurate answer. Wait. You know what? Kids don't like to wait, and God's children don't like to wait either. We are an impatient people. We have a God who says, all in my time. And we are a people who says, no, my time is right here, right now. God, do what is just. Do what is right. And yet God says, wait. And then he concludes our text by saying, behold, his soul is puffed up, it is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. In the middle of death and decay and destruction and evil and wickedness, our Lord tells us that we are people who live. We live by faith. Now, maybe at a first glance, that doesn't seem very comforting. If it doesn't, repent. Repent for the word that God gives you seeming like it's not enough. The righteous shall live by his faith. What the Lord is reminding Habakkuk of, and what he's reminding you and I of today, is that when it seems like everything around us is death and destruction and evil and wickedness, there is still life. There is always life because we have a living Lord who lives among us. And we are not a Christian people who live as though the only thing God has for us is off in the future. We tend to think that way, don't we? We think, well, here I'm going to deal with all the muck and crap and garbage in this world, and in the future it'll be better. And the future will be better. But what we forget is that God is active and living and working and producing living faith here and now. That we have a God who acts in this time, in this moment, in this reality. Right here. He is a God who gives us faith that is living. Today in our Holy Gospel from Luke 17, the disciples, the apostles, cried out to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith. Lord, give us more faith to live in this world, to handle everything that is going on around us." And what does Jesus say to them? "If you have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there. You can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted." You see, the size of faith is irrelevant. What matters is that the faith that God has given you is living. It is active. It is powerful. And it means that God is at work in you right now. It means that what Jesus Christ did on the cross 2,000 years ago flows forth to you today. It is a river of life that flows to you and lives and moves in you even now. It lives and moves, so as Jesus describes in our gospel, we are a people who love and serve one another and do what servants of God are given to do. Do you want to know where God is at work right now? In this moment? Right here. In this group of people who have come together on this Sunday morning to hear that word. In the greetings you shared with one another this morning. Acknowledging one another, not just as companions, not as just people we pass by, but brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You, people of God, are a family. You are brothers and sisters, loving and serving one another, walking out the doors of this church with hearts filled with God's love to go love and serve the people of this community, broken down, beaten by so much death and destruction. Because yes, it does seem like everything around us is death. But we have a living God and a living Lord who lives and works in us and through us. He lives and works in us because the cross of Jesus Christ is revealed to others through you. There's a beautiful example in our epistle today from 2 Timothy 1. How was it that Timothy became a Christian? Timothy was a pastor in the church of Ephesus. How was it that he was able to be a pastor? Because he had a mother and a grandmother who spoke the truth to him. They gave him life, not just in his physical birth, but in the gospel of Jesus Christ that was proclaimed to him. In the forgiveness of sins, the life and salvation bought by the Savior upon the cross. That's a living message that you have. It's been proclaimed to you. You proclaim it to one another. You proclaim it to others. And through that message of love and salvation, God grows his church. God does his work. In all the ways you love and serve one another and those around you, the Lord is living and active and doing his work among his people. It does seem at times as though everything around us is death. So much hate, so much division, so much brokenness. And yet Jesus lives. And he's a living Lord. living here among us with his gifts, living in his word, giving his body and blood to people beaten down by death and the world. When everything around us seems like death, there is always life in the one who lives and reigns for eternity. Maybe we're a congregation full of Habakkuks. We do get beaten down. We do get distressed. But like Habakkuk, a word has come to us today. And that word even tells us to wait, because our Lord Jesus will come again. And in the meantime, he's at work through the love we show to one another, the service we give to one another. And it all flows forth from the love he gave us from his cross. Dear friends in Christ, family in Christ, thanks be to God for the living faith that we have. The faith that lives in each and every one of us. The faith that lives because God, through his word, has given us his Holy Spirit. The faith that lives in us because Jesus is risen from the dead. The faith that lives in us because God has called us to live in love toward one another and toward all around us. Thanks be to God for such a living faith. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.